So Hare Krishna, please all find a good sitting place. One little request in the beginning, please be very careful with the trees and the little trees and the everything to not inadvertently hurt the trees. They are great personalities, at least some of them, who perform substantial bhajan here in the valley of Giriraj. So kindly remain careful, even when maybe there is kirtan going to happen, then please be there. Another small detail, I saw Stoka Krishna Prabhu somewhere here. Maybe you can come here, Stoka Krishna, and situate yourself where the microphones are for the Mridanga. Hare Krishna. Please look around. Isn't this wonderful? This may correspond to your secret desires to find in Vrindavan a sanctuary, a shelter, which you can go to and where you can really appeal to Radha and Krishna. So I remember when I was a little child, I would think of such forests and so on. You will see there are many residents here. They are now a little shy, but these are our friends, the parrots. They will hopefully come and illustrate the katha with their melodious chirping. Yes, here I do remember the same trees is where it all started. There are pictures of Burijan Prabhu where a big white bull is behind him. And when he became aware of the wandering bull, he was a little bit, ooh, I've never met a wild bull in the forest. But we found out he was, after some time, the white bull was sitting there where the trunk is. He was sitting down and he was listening to the katha. That was one of the fond memories which I have from that time. My dear devotees, today I would like to continue where we left yesterday. Yesterday we came to a very moving meeting where Chintamani had heard of that blind sadhu who lived in Vrindavan. At that time, no one lived in Vrindavan, really. All the people were in Mathura, which was a kind of a small town. But in Vrindavan, there were no houses. There were no roads. There were no signs of human inhabitation. Bilva Mangala Thakur went to that interior Vrindavan, away from Mathura, and only some sadhus would sometimes see this amazing young saint sitting there. His eyes were blind, and he was singing these beautiful verses of Krishna Kanamrita, and they would talk about this sadhu, and some spoke with him and found out that they asked him, "How are you living?" And Bilva Mangala Thakur said, "I don't know, but he comes with a bowl of sweet rice every morning and gives it here." So the sadhus began to understand that Bilva Mangala Thakur was personally cared for and hosted by Krishna, who even supplied his regular meals. So the news spread that there in the jungle, where no other people live, only parrots and some tigers and so on, there lives this blissful, fearless sadhu who sings in ecstasy this composition. And the news spread eventually to Haridwar, where Chintamani heard them and got hope. She had earlier thought, for sure, Bivamangala Thakur has died, because there was an omen. One morning, or one day, all the seven strings of her veena had broken, and she concluded, this means he's dead now. But there was only a second wake-up call which happened at that time. Bilvamangala Thakur had voluntarily taken his sight from him, because he felt his eyes always betrayed him and made him entangled and attached to womanly beauty. So Chintamani, when she heard there was a blind sadhu who apparently had seen Krishna, was very curious. She got hope. Maybe that is him who I know as Bilvamangala. And she came, we heard about this, and heard from Bilvamangala Thakur his story. And at the end, this little young boy who took care, the caretaker of Bilvamangala Thakur, came with an extra pot of sweet rice, and Chintamani just grabbed his feet and said, "Reveal yourself, my lord." And Bilvamangala Thakur said, "If you are the lord, you better show yourself, because she's my guru." And we had then read the first verse of his composition, I wanted to say, where he gives credit to three gurus. You remember the three gurus? Chintamani, Somagiri, who's that? His Diksha guru, where he took training. And finally, Krishna. How was he, Krishna, described? He has peacock feathers in his hair. And who is there in the shade of his beautiful form? Who's standing there? Jaisri, someone says. Jaisri is the word he uses, meaning Radharani, who's always victorious. Jaisri. And that was his first composition. Good. So we left the story there yesterday and talked about a very important point of transformation. Who remembers? What do we have to transform? Do we have to look more beautiful? Your body has to transform into a young man or young woman. What needs to be transformed when we speak of transcendental transformation? Who? Desires. What was the Sanskrit word? Kama. We learned about desires. They are inherent to every living being. No living being can be without desires. When they come to the body, they transform into desires for sense gratification. When they come to the subtle body, the mind and the ego, they transform into more subtle desires for name and recognition and importance and so on. So we said you have to catch the desire before it goes into a material direction. And then what do you do with that? You desire to engage in some service, some project, something where you even leave a little bit your comfort zone, something which you do just for Krishna. Remember? That is how you will see very soon some quick result, because Krishna has this quality that he reciprocates with the devotees according to their desires. Engaging yourself in according to their surrender, I wanted to say, the practical manifestation of surrender is you do something for Krishna, you give something for the Lord. This was the idea. There was a second way that how we can transform our karma. Who remembers this? We hear about Krishna, and why this works and how this works, I will try to show practically today and explain afterwards theoretically. Okay? I want to do something in this forest. I want to talk about Krishna today. That is the best place, no? Thank you. I'm becoming hopeful in your association that you remember something. But this is remembering is one thing. You will forget it if you don't act according to this. No, don't forget. You should by now already found something which you would like to make your personal offering to Krishna. Something which is there which you do not do at the present moment. Something which brings you beyond the present level of advancement and brings you further on. If nothing has yet come, don't worry, we have a few more days. So don't artificially produce it from your mind. It should be something which Giriraj gives you. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha See, where you sit now is the perfect place for this song. For instance, this line, Gopi Jana Vallabha, he is the darling of the gopis. He has so many pastimes that the gopis took place. And Giri means Giri Govardhan, Giri Varadhari. He's lifting that beautiful Govardhan hill, who's just right next to you, so close that you can feel him breathing. Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Thank you.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari Nayana
In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a very, very nectarian conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. It is starting out in one way. Lord Chaitanya wants to speak about the opulences of Krishna, how all the worlds emanate from the pores of his skin, and how Lord Brahma, once the ruler of the universe, came to Lord Krishna and was surprised to find that there were many, many, many other Brahmas assembled and offering their obeisances. And in this way he understood that not only was Krishna the Lord of his universe, but of countless other universes. So this discussion went on. Mahaprabhu talked about the Aishwarya, the aspect of Krishna where he is full of opulences, power, the source of all that is, and so on. And in the midst of talking like this, Lord Chaitanya lost the thread and went to a total different aspect of Krishna, his sweetness. And it is here that this sweetness has totally overwhelmed Bhimavamangala Thakur, who is there in the forest composing his verses, his ecstatic verses about how sweet Krishna is. So Lord Chaitanya, as we will find out, will quote a verse which we will sing today. But he, after having talked about Brahma, he got an idea. He said, "Just see the lack of intelligence of Lord Brahma. He poses as a creator, but he is such a fool. He had decided two eyes for the human being is enough. But I say, give a person 1,000,000 eyes, because they need so many eyes to sufficiently look at Krishna's beautiful face." So he no longer talks about the Aishwarya, the opulence, the grandeur. That's an European word, the magnificence of Krishna. But now talks about the sweetness of Krishna and says, it's so sweet, we need millions of eyes to just do justice to this. And then he describes a very, very nice scene. He compares Krishna's body, and he takes this comparison from Bilvamangala Thakur, with a beautiful ocean by night. A particular beauty comes when, at that time, when you are looking at the ocean by night, the moon rises. And he compares this moonrise, this moon, with Krishna's beautiful face, which enhances the beauty of the form of Lord Krishna, million forms. But then he says, Bilvamangala Thakur has seen this, even more beautiful than a dark ocean with a bright moon is when the moon rays start to dance on the waves. And he compares the moon rays to Krishna's extraordinary soft smile. When Krishna smiles out of his mouth, the sweetness of very sweet madhuka honey emanates. So that's what he discusses, and he says, "I can't see enough of this beauty. I'm thirsty for this beauty." So then he quotes this beautiful shloka, which you will find on your shloka sheet, which I want to chant with you. I will just learn the melody from Atul's mobile telephone. Madhuram, madhuram, vapu asya vibhur. Madhur, everyone, madhuram, madhuram, vapu asya vibhur. Madhuram, madhuram, vadanam, madhuram, everybody. Madhuram, vadanam, madhuram. Madhu gandhi medu smitametat aho. Madhu gandhi mridu smitametat aho. Madhuram, 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 madhuram. Madhuram, madhuram, madhuram. Now the whole verse, please. Madhuram, madhuram, vapu asya vibhur. Madhuram, madhuram, vadanam, madhuram.
madhugandhi mridhu smitametaraho madurang 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 madurang. One more time, please. Madurang madurang vapuasya vibhur. Madurang madurang vadanang madurang. Madhugandhi medo smitametadaho. Madurang 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 madurang.
Let's do it one more time, then we have it.
Madhurang madhurang vapuasya vibhur. Madhurang madhurang vadanang madhurang. Madhugandhi mridho smitametadaho. Madhurang 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 madhurang.
Oh my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet. Huh? And his face is even sweeter than his body. But the soft smile on his face, which is like the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. Ah, yes. So this is a Mahaprabhu. He sees the body of the Lord like an ocean of sweetness. The face of Lord Krishna, which is at the topmost part of that body, is even sweeter. He's like a moon risen over an ocean of sweetness. And then he sees how in this face there's a beautiful, beautiful mouth which starts to smile very slightly, but then the smile opens and gives one can see the teeth of the Lord, the white teeth of the Lord, a little bit, and then one can smell all of a sudden the smell of honey, because this is an indication of Krishna's pastimes. Krishna, why does Krishna smell, his breath smells like honey? Well, when he is in the Vrindavan forest at noontime, he's with Radharani and the gopis, and they get drunk. Yes, they drink very sweet honey. Very, very sweet honey. Not anything else. Honey. Radharani all of a sudden sees the forest of Vrindavan whirling in circles around him, her, and she says, "Help, help!" And then Krishna catches her. So this is it's an indication what Bilva Mangala Thakur gives here to the beautiful pastimes of Krishna. He has spoken about this in another shloka, text 45. You don't have that on your Lila Yitavyam Rasashitalavyam Nilarunavyam Nayanam Bujabhyam Alokayet Adputa Vipramabhyam Kale Kada Karunika Kishora. He has spoken in the mood of Radharani. When will this time come again? When that merciful boy Krishna will look upon me with his playful lotus eyes. No? Krishna's eyes move full of joy and they're constantly moving. which are soothing. Oh, it's so soothing, so calming and cooling, because he looks with love. Have you seen when someone looks full of affection or appreciation in your direction? You know, oh, everything is all right. I'm finally with the people with whom I am meant to be. I'm home here. Krishna has reddish corners and dark bluish irises, means in the pupil of the eyes. There's a pupil and then comes the irises, the blue circle. And Krishna's eyes are rolling and they are dancing. Because Krishna has to see all of his devotees. And he also has composed another verse which totally inspired me, because I had just read about this. He says, "Let there ever flow in my heart the nectarious pastimes tasted by the tongues of blessed, fortunate souls." When you start to remember Krishna, you remember just one scene, which is, for instance, described in mantras like Venum Kvanantam Aravindam Dalaya Taksham. Krishna plays on his flute and so on. You concentrate on that mantra. It's called meditation on a mantra, mantra upasana. That's how you start your meditation of Krishna. Especially Prabhupada gave us these two mantras from the Brahma Sanghita. They are especially meant so that we can think and meditate about Krishna. And then, once you have learned to think of Krishna, just sporadically, sometimes a little here and there, according to the mantra, then all of a sudden a stream will come of nectarious pastimes, one after the others, these pastimes which are discussed by the tongues and tasted by the tongues of a few blessed, fortunate souls. And then Bilva Mangala Thakur sees in his heart, in the stream, so to say, of pastimes, he says he sees Krishna lying behind a tree and waiting for Radharani to pass by. And when Radha comes and passes by, Krishna waylays her. He obstructs her path, and then beautiful pastimes come and discussions and so on. So he sees all this, and these pastimes are seen by him as a stream in the heart. Prabhupada once said, "There is a television in your heart. What do you do with the television? You look Superman and Batman, huh? Or you look at some reportage of Kurukshetra, of Kumbh Mela, and so on. You look at an emission. And you like to see it uninterrupted." So when Prabhupada says there is a TV set in your heart, he refers to the ability of the devotional heart to actually perceive Krishna in his real form, in his reality. Prabhupada says you only have to repair the TV, and that repairing process is Krishna consciousness. No? So one of these pastimes which is discussed here in Vrindavan by these fortunate souls, I would like to talk about here today, because Bilva Mangala Thakur has, with his verse Maduram, Maduram, indicated this. He has said, "Oh, the body of Krishna is so sweet. Sweeter than that is his face. But the most sweet thing, which I cannot forget, is the smile of Krishna's lotus feet, which smells like frog fragrance. And at the end, he is so overwhelmed of his verse that he just says, Maduram, 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 Maduram. He's overwhelmed. And Krishna's Kaviraj says he is seeing the Lord, so he's overwhelmed, and he shows with their finger at Krishna's smile and says, Maduram, 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 Maduram. It's just when something overwhelms you, you will go, Ha, Vikrama, you are there, you know, and with that finger you will point. It's not the most polite form, no? Ha, Gauranga Sundara, you know, he's overwhelmed that much that he goes, Ah, Krishna, this is very, very sweet, and you seem to have just drunken honey wine. That's why there's a good honey smell in the air. So I would, he points at the Leela, at the pastimes of Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, and I would like to this morning tell you one of these pastimes which I first heard about from Jagatarini many years ago. It is composed by Rupa Goswami originally. Rupa Goswami had written a book called Vilap Kusha Manjali. And in that verse, what is Rupa Goswami? No, that was Raghunath Goswami. I'm sorry. Raghunath Goswami had composed that book. And in that verse, he is describing himself. He says, I cannot live any longer. I've spent my whole life in bhajan, in worshipping you, Radharani, but you have not shown yourself to me. He was full of lamentation. And in that state, Rupa Goswami gave him his book, that is Vidakta Madhava, where his Ishvari, Radharani, is lamenting for Krishna because Krishna has left Vrindavan for Mathura. And so he's already lamenting, but then on top of this, he gets this book, which is very sad in the beginning, in the opening, because Krishna has just left the gopis in Vrindavan, and with Krishna all the life has really left Vrindavan. The gopis are crying, the parents Nanda and Yashoda are crying, there's a channel of tears coming from their home to the Yamuna. There's so much sadness. So Raghunath Goswami is really at his very end. And our Rupa Goswami writes another book about another pastime, which is very joyful, and Raghunath Goswami reads this pastime and again becomes very joyful. And in this train of things, the Goswamis thinking about Krishna, there is one pastime which appears where Krishna wants to turn the tables. He has made the gopis suffer so much by disappearing from them. Remember the evenings where we hear how Krishna left the beautiful gopis and how they reacted? So in this pastime, Krishna makes everything good. He arranges that Radharani is crowned the queen of Vrindavan, and he takes on a service in her government. So I want to tell you this very happy pastime today. Raghunath Das Goswami prays to see this pastime where Krishna is arranging that Radharani is crowned. It's a pastime where all the residents of Vrindavan dance with instruments and chant Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Yes, yes, yes. But I must warn you, like yesterday, the day before yesterday, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna describe totally transcendental personalities. And there are two things which you must learn when you want to comprehend what is spiritual love, what is prema. First of all, there is always an indirect expression of love, and often that indirect expression takes on the mood of some haughtiness. I saw this in Teer Kadamba. We had finished our retreat. Rishikesh and Syam Sundar Babas were very happy because they had received so many donations, a whole clay pot full of rupees that will last for a long time. And Rishikesh Baba came to Hari Syam, who was one of the organizers, and gave him a slap in the face. And Hari Syam took off his woolen cap and hold the other side, and Rishikesh Baba gave another slap in the face. And I thought, well, do I have to protect here a devotee? I mean, what was my martial arts skills to do? So I went, but then I noticed how first Hari Syam had been very serious, but then he laughed and laughed, and Rishikesh Baba laughed and laughed. And I went to Hari Syam and said, what was that all about? And he said, well, this is how Brijbasis express their affections. You know, it's in an indirect way. No, then it's more sweet. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes a comment about this indirect way. When I receive a friend, no? I will cook some prasad, but I will not say I've made this food for me because today I'm very hungry. I know my friend who has come is very hungry and he likes these preparations which I have made, the pasta and olive paste and so on. And I've gotten all these materials and made this. But I will say, I'm very hungry today, so I cooked. And then it is more loving than if I say, I know you are very gluttonous by nature. You like to eat a lot. And therefore, I've made you this pasta with olive paste. I want to fast today. That's not so much love. But if I say, it's just for me, you know, and I like this very much, then my friend feels at ease and eats very nicely. Maybe you are not so subtle that you get it, but try to get it. I'm sorry. Lovingly, I can say these things. I'm saying lovingly, not judgmentally. So it's you will see a lot of the you will have to keep this in mind. It's transcendental love which you will hear now, and I don't wish to give an explanation in the Leela of what is happening. You are intelligent. You will hear everything with your own ears and understand. So Raghunath Goswami has prayed in his book Vilap Kushamanjali, when, oh dhire is an address to Radharani. It means you are very grave, you are very somber. When will I see how Krishna, the prince or the son of Nanda Maharaj, when lovingly have you proclaimed the queen of Vrindavan, and when you will be crowned in a royal abhishek as the queen of Vrindavan? When will this happen? Why does he address Radharani? When will you be crowned as a queen? Why doesn't he say, oh Krishna, when will I see when you will be crowned as the king of Vrindavan? It's like this, Radharani is dhira, very somber, but Krishna is so restless. He dances so much and always makes jokes. So king should be grave and somber. So Radharani is more suited in the opinion of Raghunath Goswami, the Goswamis. So in the Padma Purana, it is also says, in the Matsya Purana, we find quotations like Vrindavane I don't have the Sanskrit here, but in Vrindavan, Radharani is the queen. So this is how it happened. One day, a very fine day, Krishna went to Vrinda Devi. And he said to Vrinda Devi, hey Vrinda, today I wish that you become a voice in the sky. And very loudly you should address Purnamasi, Yogamaya. That, hey Purnamasi, I order you, make Radharani the queen of Vrindavan. So Vrinda Devi says, yes, my lord. And a few moments later, there is a booming voice in the sky. It addresses Purnamasi, O queen of the yogis, quickly give a royal abhishek to Radha, who is the Chandra Lakshmi, the moon of Vrindavan, who is praised in the whole universe. And then this voice says, what is the result of coronating Radha as the queen? The voice continues, the stream of luster, which at that time will emanate from the transcendental treasure of beauty of Radha, will spread through the whole universe. In other words, Radharani will become prominent, and her prominence will spread throughout the whole universe. And as a result, all the sufferings will disappear. When the wonderful mercy of Radha is worshipped, love will be given to the entire world. There's a very nice book which you know, a very nice prayer which glorifies Radharani.
Munindra Vrindavandite Triloka Shoka Harini Prasanna Vakta Pankaje Nikunya Bhuvilasini.
It means, oh, we worship Shrimati Radharani. Triloka Shoka Harini, she removes the misery of all living entities in the universe. My dear devotees, we all are suffering. Ugh, the body and the mind and dysentery. No one suffers with that. We need mercy, and most merciful is Dayamayi, Karunamayi, Kripamayi Radhe. And therefore, yes, we go to her and say, Radha Krishna, Radha first.
So when this voice came over Vrindavan, there were different reactions. Just imagine at this moment a booming voice in the sky which would say,
Prashanta, you are ordered to, I don't know what, to take Atul Krishna, sit him on a throne, and decorate him festively as the king of Vrindavan. We would say, what? So when this voice came, Radharani must be crowned the queen, which was Purnamasi, to whom this voice was addressed, became immediately active and thought how to do it. Radharani, who was very shy, became more shy. Oh no, no. The gopis who heard the voice booming in the sky embraced Radha and chanted, Jai Radhe, Jai Si Radhe. And the Brijbasis thought Brahma, personally, the creator of the universe, orders that Radha is crowned, and they took instruments and danced in Vrindavan on the roads. And Kundalata, one of the gopis, decided to go all over Vrindavan to all the corners wherever the voice was not heard and said, tomorrow is the Abhishek of Radharani, the royal coronation bath. On the day of the Abhishek, Radharani is fully decorated by her sakis. In the forest of Vrindavan, a beautiful jeweled platform has been made with a beautiful throne, and she is moving towards the throne. Her lotus feet have a huge splendor which spread all over the forest of Vrindavan. That is also described, how wonderful her lotus feet look. I'm just imagining as she walks, there is this very nice, can I read this to you, description of her lotus feet with which she walks. No? Yes, can I read it? Mm-hmm. I was too ecstatic, I couldn't find it here, but I can tell you how her form looks. Oh, you who is radiant and fair, and whose form resembles lightning gold and champak flowers. Your lotus face defeats the splendor of the effulgence of millions of autumnal moons. Imagine such a beauty. More light comes than from millions of autumn moons. And your eyes are very restless, like those of a young chakora bird. And she moves on the pedestal and sits down. And when the residents of Vrindavan see this, they begin to dance in transcendental ecstasy. The parrots dance in the air. The peacocks dance. The ants, the small ants dance. The bees dance in the breeze, because a wonderful pastime is going to take place. And Krishna himself is hiding close by behind a tree with a little friend of his, and he sees how Radha is looking very shyly, and he knows if he would now be there, Radharani would be too shy. So he is hiding. He knows Radharani will fear that Krishna will look and do some joke or something, and she also fears that she's seen before the elders with Krishna nearby, and her love, which is hidden in her heart, will show to the elders. So she sits down, and the sakis are around her and whisper in her ear, Radha, he's not here. And Radharani relaxes. So at that time, the goddesses step forward. The goddess Yamuna has come. Ekarnangsa Devi, the sister of Krishna, has come. Rudrani has come, the wife of Shiva. Indrani, the wife of who? Of Indra. They all have taken human form, and so has Manasi Ganga, and so on. And they all take jeweled pots with them. Just imagine, they come there on the pedestal, they move with blissful smiles, and they carry Ganga water and water from the seven oceans and everything. And while there is a shower of flowers, they take these jeweled pots. In the beginning, they bath Radharani with ghee, with milk, yogurt, and honey. And then they take this beautiful Ganga water and other waters to clarify everything and purify everything. And when, as this goes on, the sakis hold each other. Finally, their queen is, their saki, the glorious Radha, is given the respect which she totally deserves, and they lean against them, each other. They cover their mouth and they do lulululululu, this uludvani, which I guess the Matajis can also do. But the Matajis, your uludvani is not as beautiful as the Sakis. So we at this moment do not need to hear. And then they blow. They blow conchals, and everyone shouts, Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!
At this moment, Ekansa, the sister of Krishna, who, you know, came in the prison came and told to Krishna, Kamsa, you fool, you wanted to kill me, but you must know that Krishna is taking birth somewhere else. And then she disappears, the sister of Krishna. So she comes and she takes red vermilion and applies a royal tilak on Krishna, on Radharani's forehead, which proclaims Radha the undisputed king of Vrindavan. And then she gives a sign. And at this sign, Savitri says, the wife of Brahma, to Sachi Devi, the wife of Indra, it's time now. Let's go. Let's go. Let's give our presents. So she comes and she hangs on Radharani's neck a beautiful lotus flower. This is my present for you, O Queen of Vrindavan. This lotus flower will not wilt. They will always be fresh. And then Sachi Devi, the wife of Indra, comes and carries a huge golden throne. The other throne is not suitable for you. You are now a queen. You need a golden throne. And Radharani sits down on that. Then Gauri comes, Varuni's wife, and hence Radharani a scepter, because queen needs to rule with a scepter in her hand. And finally, Dumorna comes. Dumorna is the wife of Yamaraj. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. She's a suspicious lady. She brings a mirror to Radharani, which is covered with jewels. And nice music sounds. The music has started now. It's the royal coronation music. The devatas have big drums. They are called dundubi drums. And they are kettle drums. They're these huge drums, and they bang the drums very loudly. It's very auspicious. It sounds from the place. The
place where this takes place is called Unmata Radhastali. Unmata means proud. Radharani is very happy here because she thinks, I'm the queen of Vrindavan and all these are my subjects. So, Unmata Radhastali. Please say, Unmata Radhastali. There is now a village in Vrindavan which is named after this pastime. In the Brij Bhasha language, it's called Umrao. Say?
Umrao.
Umrao, yes. In that village it took place, if you want to find the exact spot. So this happens. Radharani is fully, that cloth is changed. She sits there in a royal garment and looks very, very much as the queen looks. I don't know how a queen will look, but very queenly and very, yes, confident. Shyness is gone. At that time, when all the other devatas are gone, when the Brijbasis are gone, it's the next day, a particularly sweet leela takes place. At that time, Krishna very humbly approaches the throne of the queen. And he says to Lalita, who's the prime minister, I have come. Why have you come? Says Lalita. Because now this is a government, you know, the one has to deal properly with Radharani. Krishna says, I have thought about it. I want a service in her government. Lalita says, oh, this is not so easy, Syam Sundar. What is your qualification, please? Besides that, I have given away all services already. There is no service left on which I can write your name. Tell me, what would you like to do? Krishna says, I have one very good qualification. You? Yes, I am very watchful. I can see everything. So I will be the constable, the policeman. Well, says Lalita, policeman has got a position. He can protect from thieves. Mark this. But you must write an application. Letter. So Krishna writes an application letter. Would you like to know what he writes? He writes, glory to the Queen of Vrindavan. Please say,
glory to the Queen of Vrindavan.
Yeah, the rest I will say. The one who has all the power in Braj. Oh Radha, you are so powerful. And then he starts to joke again. You defeat millions of cupids. Please don't kick me away. Accept me as your servant. So Radharani first blushes at this indication. You defeat millions of cupids. But then she mercifully accepts Krishna. And Krishna immediately goes away and returns a few minutes later dressed as a constable. Fully dressed as a constable. I do not know how a constable looked at that time. I can imagine he must have a cloth which holds his long shirt. He must have a stick, of course, to punish the unrighteous people. So he is fully dressed as the most attractive constable. And all the gopis go, ooh. He is ornamented as a constable and so on. And he smiles and he goes around. Glory to the Queen of of Vrindavan. Glory to Srimati Radharani.
Glory to the Queen of Vrindavan. Glory to Srimati Radharani.
Jai Siddhartha. And he goes all over Vrindavan. He goes to all the places. And with great ecstasy, he proclaims Jai Sri Radhe, and everyone who hears it becomes totally ecstatic to hear from Krishna's mouth the glorification of his most dear Srimati Radharani. They fill the sky with the ecstasy of their shouts, Jai Sri Radhe! But Krishna cannot stop joking. He takes his flute, and while behaving very constable-like, very orderly, he takes the flute, and when Lalita doesn't look, he hides the flute under Lalita's veil. And moments later, he says, Oh, someone has stolen my flute here. This is not good. In a new kingdom, and there's so many thieves. At this moment, Vishakha laughs and says, it's good that your flute is stolen, because you will now stop disturbing innocent housewives. But Radharani interrupts Vishakha immediately and says, no, Vishakha, this is not good. A kingdom in which thievery is encouraged cannot blossom, but it will go down. So Lalita at that moment says, oh Radha, innocent Radha, he is very prankish. A constable who cannot keep his own things together should immediately resign. Resign. Krishna said, no. The theft has occurred here amongst the high executives of the government. What can a low-rung executive like a constable do against highly powerful government ministers, you know? It's amongst you where the flute is. No, says Radha, says Lalita. This is not possible. Radharani says, no, we will prove our innocence. Our government is corrupt-free. We will prove it. Every sakhi of you, every here, open their veil, and in this way it will be shown that the flute was not stolen by one of you. And one sakhi after another opens the veil. It's nowhere there. And then Radha says, Lalita, you open your veil, and Lalita opens her veil, and the flute falls out of her veil. Lalita gets furious. Krishna, you did this! This is too much! No, I'm a constable. I'm totally innocent. It's you who must resign. You are the corrupt prime minister in this government. So when the sakis hear all this joking going back and forth, they drown in an ocean of hasyaras. Hasyaras means laughter. So after some time, when the laughter calms down, Radha says, "Oh Syamasunda, you have fulfilled your wish by making me or crowning me the queen of Vrindavan. Now I will tell you what is my wish. I am only your servant, so give up your dress as a constable. Dress as you always dress and sit with me on this golden throne. This is your place." So when Vrinda Devi hears this, in minutes she prepares a wonderful dress for Krishna. I don't think she needs to sew it. She can just say, dress, come here, and the dress is there. she prepares a dress, and then Krishna quickly changes and ascends the throne. At that time, my dear devotees, the beauty, combined beauty of Radha and Krishna spreads through Vrindavan. Krishna looks like a cloud bank, a monsoon cloud, so beautiful, so soothing, so nourishing, and Radharani looks like a streak of lightning. The peacock, they lean against each other, and the matchless beauty mirrors against each other. The peacocks dance, the parrots sing. They're just now sleeping, and they should sing at this moment. The parrots sing, and the bees with their wives are ecstatically flowing from flower to flower. They don't flow alone, the Shastra says, but with their wives they flow from flower to flower. Maybe they want to collect extra nectarian things, honey. And the gopis chant with happiness, Jai Jai, and look at Radharani. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Syam, Jai Jai Si Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Syam, Jai Jai Si Vrindavan Dham. Jai Jai Radhe, Jai Jai Syam, Jai Jai Si Vrindavan Dham. So, my dear devotees, I'm always a little shy to speak, but I have spoken today a little pastime of Krishna, and there is a reason. It's not, it's so nice to hear pastimes, let's do something nice. That is also there, but the main thing is we are talking about transformation of material desires which bind us to this world into unselfish desires to give pleasure to Krishna. One way to effect this transformation was discussed yesterday, that is to use the activities which are based on desires. All activities are based on desires. Well, some you are forced to do, but you will eventually do what you like to do in your life. So that activity, that you do something you like to do, this is not forced activity. Bhakti is an activity which must be voluntarily, with a favorable feeling to please Krishna and do something for Krishna. Don't be afraid to step of your out of your miserable comfort zones to do this. No, the second process, my dear devotees, was indicated yesterday, was to talk in the association of devotees about the unlimited Lord and his pastimes. And I thought I will do this not theoretically but practically by talking in the forest of an Adavan about this. I felt inspired to do this. I intended to do this, but I fully felt inspired yesterday in the lecture of our Madhavananda Prabhu, who quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam, that this process of hearing about Krishna's pastimes and qualities is recommended to do in the association of devotees. Later, Harishyam, who knows computer science, went and printed this out from the computer. Would you like to know the verse where this is recommended? I will say it again because this you cannot hear enough. It's in the fourth canto, ninth chapter, verse 11. Bhaktim muhu pravahatam tvahi me prasango bayatananta mahatam amalashayanam yenanya solbanamuru vyasanam bhavaptim nesye bhavat gunakatamrita panamatta. It says, O unlimited Lord, may I always have the association of great devotees with pure hearts who perform bhakti to you. By this association, I will become intoxicated from drinking the nectar of your pastimes and qualities. And then I shall easily combat the ocean of material existence full of terrible suffering. So he says, I want to be amongst devotees who discuss politics. Sorry. I was for a moment a little sleepy here. That's not what he says. He says something totally different. I was inattentive. Sorry. I will be more attentive from now on. So he says, in this association, they will discuss about Krishna, and I will hear this, and I will become intoxicated by drinking the nectar of your pastimes and qualities. And this type of absorption, this type of inner fulfillment will help me to easily resolve all the miseries which I have to, which come my way. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes an amazing purport, and I will repeat it. It was discussed yesterday very nicely. In the purport, he makes a remark. Bhakti, when it's done alone, then this hearing and chanting is not so sweet. He says, bhakti composed of hearing and chanting will not be sweet without proper association. Therefore, Dhruva prays for the association of the Govardhan retreat. Sorry. I'm a little tired. Therefore, Dhruva prays for the association of those who continually perform bhakti. You know, they are bhaktas. They always are bhakti. They are not switch on bhaktis, bhaktas and switch out devotees. No, they are always there. Then someone might come to Dhruva Maharaj, says, yes, you can have association with these high-class bhaktas, but what will you do with your sufferings which will come in the ocean of because you're in this world? And Dhruva answers this. He raises his hand in pride and speaks, no problem, I will overpower the terrible ocean of material life, which is full of countless pains, by the strength of that association. Let it come before me. Let us see. Nothing is impossible for me. Because I will be drunk with tasting the nectar of your qualities and your pastimes. I will be drunk. I will be empowered, in other words, with another quality. The qualities of material life, such as rivalry, that's a disease which men have. They always need to compete and are envious if someone is better than them. The qualities of material life, such as rivalry, ignorance, and hatred, cannot make this drunkard suffer any longer. Even death cannot touch the person who has drunk immortal nectar. You know, this is true. Devotees who on their deathbed hear the kirtan, hear about Krishna, they are not afraid. They have a nice composure in their face. They look sanctified, not terrified. No? By bhakti produced from the association with devotees, one directly meets the Lord. And then after that, one again prays for association with devotees more. So this indicates that bhakti in the form of association with devotees is the cause of bhakti. And bhakti is also the result of bhakti. In other words, when you bring yourself into the association of devotees, you will get bhakti. It causes bhakti, and then once you have bhakti, more bhakti will follow. It will attract more bhakti. There is a little ancient quaint story, you know, about a thief who was a terrible thief, really a bad person. And somehow he made it into the association of devotees. He just sat down at the edge of the katar. Maybe he thought, let me look into the kurta pockets. Maybe there's some Lakshmi there to be found. He was there at least in the katar. And after he had died, he was brought to Yamaraj judgment, and he was judged. Oh my God, you did so many bad things, but here is something good. You sat amongst the devotees. So what would you like to have first? The result of the punishment for all your bad activities, or would you like to have the reward for sitting in a Krishna katha amongst devotees? The thieves are sometimes clever. He said, I will take the good result first. Okay. So he was reborn and again had association after he had grown up a little. The children are karma free, so after some time he was going to the association of devotees, and there was a nice Krishna katha going on. And at the end of the Krishna katha, the Yamadutas came and said, so now you come to hell and you're punished. The thief, very intelligent thief, said, it's not so easy, because I have said another time in the Krishna katha, and this time I was more attentive, and it was longer. I will have to first get the result of this, no? And the Yamadutas went back to Yamaraj. This is what the thief said. He said he has done again some good thing, so he should he wants the result of that first. He Yamaraj said, let him go. He's good now. And because the person had understood, let me renounce my bad ways and let me become a devotee. Let me sit with these devotees. So my dear devotees, I want to say, please be serious about your transformation. Please do not take these informations which come to you on this Govardhana retreat like, oh yes, nice, but oh, let's move on with life. Yes, let's move on with life, but in a different way. Look at your desires, which are the basis of the life which you live. And if you want to get a better life, you need to transform your desires. And that is done primarily by engaging yourself voluntarily. That's very important. By force is also some good result, but voluntarily in the acts of bhakti, make a plan what you can do. And second of all, this that transformation happens in the sangha of devotees. You may feel, well, Sachinanda Swami, I fell asleep during the katha. That didn't work on me. I'm resistant. But do you know how the human being changes? I mean, the principle. It is by sangha, by association. Krishna speaks about this principle in the Bhagavad Gita, where he says, if you sangat kamayat, if you have association with the sense objects, you look at them, and then you develop a desire for them. And Prabhupada, in the Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, verse 4, talks about this, that in relationship to devotees, when you are with devotees and you see them as they are relishing bhakti, as they are in bhakti. No? Not just any type of association. The word, Sanskrit word, is here prasanga, good association. It's also used in the third canto, this word. It's a good association where Krishna Katha is spoken. Then, my dear devotees, you think, oh, yeah. I'm now with these devotees, and they are serious. They mean it. It's not a pretense. Yes. I will. I can also. I'm not yet dead. I can also do something in my spiritual life, something very nice. I get the point. Sangha is very important, and it enhances your bhakti processes. Therefore, the Yuga Dharma, chanting the holy name, is most efficient. Kirtan done alone is all right, but if it's Sankirtan, doing with many, then you'd get the energy from the many, and the devotional qualities from the many. They reflect in the mirror of your heart. The more lamps are out there, the more shining devotees whose heart are full with the lamplight of bhakti, the more it will mirror in your heart, and the more light will come from your heart. Therefore, yes, I spoke today about Krishna Katha as that which transforms desires. But it goes hand in hand with kirtan, sankirtan. My dear devotees, do not avoid the kirtan of the holy names of the Lord when there are many devotees and when it is a devotional atmosphere. That can perform miracles. We have seen that sometimes I ask devotees, how did you sleep? And they say, unusually, Maharaj, I had an unusual sleep. I was singing in my sleep the whole day, whole night. It was always the echo was coming. Yes, that is good. That is something is happening now in your heart. It is working. So this process of hearing Krishna Katha and doing kirtan. Sometimes devotees only want to do kirtan, but that is also not good, because kirtan needs to be augmented with an understanding of the person whose name you chant all the time. If you don't know Hare Krishna, who's Hare, who's Krishna, what they do, your kirtan is a little bit in the beginning states. But if you have knowledge of the devotees from hearing of Radha and Krishna, from hearing from devotees, then your kirtan is done with a sense of connectedness, because you need to know a person in order to connect with him or them. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore says, just like Radha, Krishna is always associated with Radha, in the same way, the kirtan, the holy name of Krishna, is always associated with Krishna Katha. And that is that is the idea of these two Govardhan retreats. We first have the holy name retreat, and then is a second retreat, this is the present retreat, where you hear discussions about Radha and Krishna based on the Bhagavatam and our line. Because then the kirtan will profit from hearing about Krishna, and also your hearing about Krishna will profit from the kirtan, because the kirtan purifies the heart, so that when you hear the things which are unusual in Krishna's leela, you don't immediately go, oh no, this is, what is this, you know, this joking and so on. You will say, wow, wonderful. You will, or this haughtiness, or Lalita getting furious on Krishna, that enhances the rasa, with a purified heart you can understand. With a worldly heart you think, this is not what I think is an ideal relationship. Hare Krishna. Good. This is a little bit what I wanted to discuss today. We will now have a little thing. We will turn to Giriraj Singh kirtan, and then I will asked you to pair up, and I will have a very difficult examination for each one for you to pass. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm.
Can we have the harmonium louder, please?
Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Bol,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
a little louder, please.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
a little louder.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, kitna hare 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 rama hare rama 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 hare 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 kitna hare 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 rama Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Go. To conclude this session, I request you to find a partner for some serious discussion. The men, please find men and Matajis with Matajis. Please all participate in this exercise, it will be good for you. Okay, may I ask you, as I asked you, look around, who has not yet found a partner, just look around, then you, if someone else raises the finger, then you go to that other person. Good. Good, 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 good. So, my dear devotees, may I have your undivided attention. In this seminar, we hear about the amazing transformation which took place from calm to prem. We have heard in multiple lectures that this whole world is compared with a big tree which is reflected in a lake. This means the fruits of this tree are not really enjoyable, just like the apples on a apple tree that appears at the reflection in the water cannot be enjoyed. No, this is the image we have heard it. This word rests on desire. Your life rests on desire. You are here in this particular human form which you have because of a result of your desires. We are here in a movement which obtains, which wants the joy and the bliss and the really the bhakti to Krishna, and for that we will have to look at our desires As you all know, the only price for Krishna consciousness is what? Lolyam, eagerness. It means an increased form of desire, very strong desire. So the question I want to raise now, it is for the discussion amongst your partners. What were the two ways which were suggested in this seminar to change material desire into spiritual desires and more and more spiritual desires? That is the easy part. And now the more difficult part of the question is, what do you think can you do in these two areas? First, you need to identify the two areas. I think you remember, they were repeated a few times. But what can you personally do? Seminars are only meaningless entertainment when they do not give an impulse for an increased level of activities. So please, you should, this is my request to you, something should change in your life after this, we need to start working on it. We have more time, we will do more things, but already let us please focus on this. So is the question clear? Yes. Good. Then please move ahead with your discussion partner. And if he is a shy discussion partner, let him also talk. Tickle something out of him. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. I wish you all the best in the application of these things, of your good intentions. We will now come to a close of this session. You can certainly discuss afterwards what has not yet been expressed and needs to be expressed. We request you now to go to our retreat center, where we will serve you a wonderful lunch prasadam. Maybe our Prashanta will tell us which way we have to go. It's rather simple, and you can walk like ants walk. One ant always walks the same path as the other ant. You need, of course, to hope that the ant before you knows the way. But where everyone goes, it's rather just across. You go across the road, and you will find there is a steady stream of honey drinking ants who go, because when prasadam is there.